The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two on, two out in the ninth. Here it is. Swinging a soft tapper towards second. Gonzalez up with it and on to first. That's the ball game. Bednar saves it. And the Pirates open with a win in San Francisco. 6-5 Pirates here tonight.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. On a little bit of a cooler day here in Pittsburgh, they got out in front of Doppler with the early Steelers practice in Latrobe. That is fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. That will forever go down as David Bednar's final save in a Pirates uniform. In San Francisco earlier this week, he is now Bronx bound for the Yankees. The Mars native will get a chance this year to chase a World Series dream. Yankees were in it last year. He's also got another year of team control. That is estimated to be somewhere between $8 or $9 million based on how he has pitched this year. That's what they think he'll get in arbitration. He's making around $6 million this year. So about a $2 to $3 million bump to $9 million. If you add up the money the Pirates have saved in trading Ke'Bryan Hayes, trading Caleb Ferguson, trading David Bednar, so the prorated amounts left on their contracts for this year, and then the money owed both guys, Bednar and Hayes, for next year, they've saved roughly $20 million with these deals. So there's got to be a reallocation of at least $20 million for next year. At least, right? I mean, and that's if the payroll is static at $88 million.
You would think. You would assume. And it's not going to be next year. The year after, they'll have to start paying Paul Skeens arbitration money. He's going to get possibly a record, wouldn't you think?
In his first year of arbitration for a pitcher? Absolutely, yeah.
He's gonna set a record. Do you know what the first year arb record is for a pitcher? Off the top of your head?
I do not. Do you?
No, but I mean, whatever it is, he's, I would imagine, going to shatter it.
Reviews coming in. Jeff Passan, who's the biggest insider in baseball, loves this trade for the Pirates. Calls Flores, the catcher, an elite receiver, pitch framer, even though pitch framing is no longer going to be a thing. As we get closer to the ABS system. Local reviews, not as high. David Todd, former sports radio personality, did point out the two best catchers the Pirates have had in the last 20 years both came from the Yankees. Russell Martin and Francisco Cervelli. How about Chris Stewart? No love for him.
Stu!
So there's that.
They love Chris Stewart.
Pirates Media Hall of Famer, Bob Smysak, might have his plaque taken down because he's saying disappointed in Pirates' return on Bednar. Expected more than a number 8 prospect. Flores is batting .211 in the International League. Yes, it's only in 10 games, though.
The one guy who's down in single A is hitting, I believe, .209 this year, I saw.
Is that Sanchez?
Nah.
Because it's not Edgleen Perez, is it?
He's in single A, though, isn't he?
I thought they both were.
I think one of the two. I think the infielder's hitting .209. I can look up Edgleen.
Donnie follows us, the host of Bucko Talk, and our A-plus producer. He is at a training camp live event, which is going to turn into, I think, trade deadline post-game with Donnie starting at 6.
Edgleen Perez hitting .209 with a .604 OPS. Fits right in.
At the live casino out in Greensburg. Donnie's take 7 minutes ago. It really is incredible how bad Ben Cherington is at this.
How do you feel about that take?
I think everything Ben Cherington touches, for the most part, turns to whale feces.
Getting
so
a lot of
takes.
He is
the opposite of King Midas. That is my biggest concern with this. I also do think...
People telling me I'm wrong to put even this in the same breath as the Mason Miller deal because of years of control and how good Miller is.
Yeah, Miller is 4, and that's true. And also, J.P. Sears went in that trade.
Still,
him.
I don't know. It just, it feels, I'm probably overvaluing Bednar a little bit. It just does not feel like they got a good return here.
These are not facts because we're dealing with opinion. You know, rankings are subjective, but these are facts in that regard. They did not get a top prospect back for David Bednar.
They wanted a top. I think the filter I have to run through is Noah Hyles told us that what he was hearing was that their ask for Bednar would be a team's top five guy. They didn't get that.
So if you said, I only want David Bednar traded if I'm getting, say, a top 100 prospect back or something like that, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think that has to make it a below average deal by Ben Cherington. That's what I have it at.
They got a productive minor leaguer. So if I'm going to actually spin this positively, like if I'm making a pros and cons list of it, one of the pros would be, hey, at least this guy has been productive. You know, like if it were, for example, the great shortstop prospect that the A's got back in the Padres deal. He's only at single A. He's 18 years old. He's actually not having that good of a season. And so if the Pirates had made that trade, of course I would be ecstatic that they got the overall prospect in baseball back, but I would say, I am nervous that he's not doing well right now, and what gives me hope or belief that the Pirates are going to be able to turn that around from him? Like, what I mean is, the more projectable, the more nervous I get or anxious I get about the Pirates being able to deliver on the guy, because that means they have to pour more into him. I want turnkey players.
So
I want guys they can't screw up.
Lower ceiling, higher floor.
Yes. With them, under this administration, yes. Yes, I do. That would not be a one-size-fits-all take of mine. But given who's running the organization and his track record with hitters, absolutely. What hitting success stories does he have? Honestly.
He had Jack Sawinski for a couple of years. He has massive hitting failures.
He had Jack Sawinski for a year, and he had Joey Bart for a year, and that's it.
But they then proceeded, I think, to actively ruin Jack Sawinski.
Maybe O'Neill Cruz?
No.
Because they didn't.
No.
He didn't trade for Cruz, so they technically developed him.
I don't know. Don't give him that. O'Neill Cruz is more of like he's still more of a stat cast darling than he is a guy who at the plate looks like a finished, polished product. Mm-hmm. It is awesome that he can hit a ball 123 miles an hour. It is less awesome that he can also power a small European nation with missed swings.
2 hours away from the trade deadline, all the expiring contract guys are still here. IKF, Tommy Pham, Andrew Heaney. Mitch Keller, unlikely he's going to be traded per Ken Rosenthal and all the big insiders. David Bednar has been dealt to the Yankees. 412-928-9370. Here's Dan on the Fan. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I just got some comments for you guys and then let you chew on that for a while.
Yep.
I listen to these people trying to spin it to make it sound like it's something positive, but bottom line is, we just gave away a game-changing player for a guy that we listened to that fellow say he thinks he could hit at the next level. And it's just one thing after another.
Do you know what that
club
guy said about Rafael Flores that actually bothers me? And it sounds ridiculous.
And that's, what's his name again?
Adam Marco.
Adam Marco.
You already got his last name and first name wrong. What a memorable thing that is.
Who used to work at this station.
Correct. When he said he's a great guy, really high character guy, I have a theory that anytime that is the very first thing you say about a player, you are automatically implying that they
now,
are not.
Now, in fairness,
that
he's only watched the guy play 10 games, but that's 10 more than any of us.
I know, but usually if there's a guy who's got like a ridiculous trait attached to him or there's something can't miss, you're like, all right, this guy hits the absolute snot out of the ball. When you go, he's a nice guy, he's a great character guy, I'm like, oh,
so, Dan,
man, you're
not thrilled with this trait is what you're telling us.
It just reminds me of the headaches I have of being a Pirates fan.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Pony, as far as how you feel? Like, I wonder where people are just at right this second about their fandom on the team and the way they feel and the way this deadline day is making them feel.
Well, I will say this about that macro question. The Greg Browns and the people that have talked about what they expected or wanted, who are close to the organization, have, and Cherington said this, you know, for 2026. And these moves, like, create openings for 2026, but they don't give you answers. Going back to Greg Brown, he said on Tuesday his wish was that trades were going to get made where young players got put into positions where you felt this is like an audition for them, but they're like, the team we think we're going to have to start 2026 is pretty much on the field starting Friday in Colorado. That's not happening. Flores is not going to get called up right now and just completely skip AAA, you wouldn't think.
Doesn't look like he deserves to.
Hayes got, you know, pushed out the door for a single-A player, and I'm totally fine with that because I think Hayes is useless as a hitter. But we still have 2 hours left. They've not made moves that have solidified those spots. Left field, shortstop, catcher, third base. You know, they're still question marks. Flores has potential. He has a chance. But when you compare him to what other closers got traded for, it doesn't measure up. Now, Duran's more valuable than Bednar, and Miller's more valuable than Bednar. Helsley with the Cardinals is, I think, slightly less valuable because there's only 2 months left, and the Mets or the Cardinals got basically the same return for him, for 2 months of him, a rental, as the Pirates did for Bednar. So, does that answer your question? Like, I also... But here's the other part of it. Like, I'm not hammering them because when Dan calls in and says they traded away a game-changing player.
No, they didn't.
They traded away a guy who pitches the ninth inning very well.
For a team that's rarely leading
the ninth
inning.
That's in last place, right.
For a team that's won 8 of 9 and is 15 games under 500.
Here is Gary next. Hello, Gary.
Hey, guys. Pony and Chris, if you guys have the direct line to Bob Nutting, tell him to immediately call security, take the computer, take the phone away from him, hand him pink slip, and tell and escort him out the door.
Ben Charrington, you're talking about?
Oh, you know it. Yeah. Call Bob up and tell him you go right away.
You're talking about like one of those red Cold War phones that you pick up and it's got the old kind of punch buttons.
So you're very disappointed in this trade, Gary.
We've gotten a ton of people saying what Gary said. Fire Ben Charrington now.
Here's my fear that he's going to trade Santana to Houston for an 18-wheeler with Coca-Cola in for this next year for the Coke to be sold at the stadium. I mean, this is crazy. You wouldn't let a grandma who has dementia drive. And the wordsmith told us specifically, if you want to parse all the crazy things he says when he answers a question, it takes 12 minutes. He said it's for 2020 or it's 2026. We are going to put a good competitive team on the field. How are you with all these ands, ifs, and buts again? We're in the same position we were, I think, worse. And I don't mind them trading Bednar. That's not the issue. The issue is we were supposed to get something in place in one of these positions that could hit. And now we got the and, ifs, and buts again.
Thanks, Gary. Anybody that is skeptical of a GM who in year 6 has put a last place team on the field and allegedly, when given money to spend either on players or analysts, picked analysts, you should be rightfully nervous and concerned or upset or angry. I am a little bit surprised that the owner who has blocked David Bednar trades before didn't do it again, given how much Bednar means to him.
Especially since it wasn't for a top 5 prospect from
right.
The team they were getting back.
They
deal.
Must have sold. They must have done a great job of selling Bob.
On Rafael
on
Perez primarily.
And that we can spend the $9 million that was going to go to Bednar better this offseason.
I'm surprised by one random thing. Twitter's not real life, but it's, hey, people chiming in to say what they think.
Just Twitter likes the trade?
A lot of people just dislike the Mason Miller comp, fine. I'm also getting the sense that Twitter seems to think that J.P. Sears is Sandy Koufax.
By the way,
I don't know, but I think there are a lot of Pirates fans that maybe feel like if anyone's going to rip the team, they're going to be the ones to do it, who seem inclined to defend the team at first blush.
Breaking news, giant news, not the Pirates. Carlos Correa has been traded back to the Astros. Signed with the Twins 2 years ago, now headed back to Houston to be there. I don't know about shortstop because they have Pena there. Here is Greg in Youngstown. Hello, Greg.
Hey, guys. Here's my problem. Why don't we trade our garbage prospects for real players? Why do we give – this makes no sense. I would trade the whole minor league except for Griffin to get two bona fide hitters so we can win next year. Why are they holding on to these minor leaguers so bad?
So even though you're supposed to be a seller, you're saying be a buyer and use your prospects to get –
Be a buyer. The guy in the Indians, your left fielder, they want to trade this guy. Give them anything they want except for Griffin. Give them anything. But they won't do it.
You know what? As far as like trading for hitters that teams want to trade that have years of control, the Pirates should be interested in dealing for those guys. It's not a bad point.
Steven Kwan's not a free agent till 2028.
Right. Like, just because you're labeled a seller because your team's in last place, that would only count for hitters that are on expiring deals. You wouldn't trade for those guys. It would make no sense.
Wouldn't trade for a Yandy Diaz, for example.
But if Steven Kwan is available, this Pirates should be just as interested, if not more interested, than the other teams who are in contention, right? Because
don't you automatically feel like they'll end up overpaying for a guy like that? They'll trade. It'll be the whole Chris Archer deal, but for a position player.
Chris, that circles back to what we've said for months.
Yes, I know.
Ben Cherington is running the show and calling the shots. So yes, I would be concerned that they would overpay and get something like that wrong. Yeah, I would.
I don't know, man. This just feels like a low point in a franchise that's had a lot of them where we can't even properly talk about trades and how we feel about them because the well is so poisoned because the guy doing the job is so bad at it and we all don't want him to be here and many of us don't think he will be here that you just can't even make evaluations.
Intern Jack is a diehard Pirates fan. You give thumbs up, thumbs down on what you've seen so far here, Intern Jack.
Thumbs down.
Okay. Intern Dom, I think, for the first time in his life, doesn't want to give a take.
Little gun shy.
Don't do that, Pony. Don't do that.
All right.
Pony just cackling over here like the Emperor.
It's an inside joke that nobody gets except the four of us and one other person.
There's one other person out there who probably gets it.
And maybe a bunch more people that are in a text chat. That's the extent of it.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One for him that saved no one number 100 with the Buccos, man. So that's unbelievable. I wanted him to do that more. You know, we all did. We all wanted that for him. So we were just glad he could get that done tonight. He was sharp all night. Good, we got the win.
What does it mean to be behind the plate for a moment like that?
Yeah, I mean, our guys came out and got after it. I mean, from start to finish, but. You know, at the end of the night, we all knew we wanted Betty in that situation. You know how much the city means to him and, you know, his family and everything. So that's a moment that he'll never forget.
That was Joey Bart getting a little choked up when David Bednar recorded his 100th save at PNC Park. It would be Bednar's last at home. And maybe Bart also knew that a Bednar trade could lead to something negative regarding his Pirates career, because now there's another catcher in the system who's close to the major leagues. Rafael Flores comes from the Yankees in this deal. He is the eighth-rated prospect in the Yankees organization. Travis Sawchuk, who wrote a book about the Pirates called Big Data Baseball. Have you read it? Or are you busy with the World War I books?
I've not read Data Baseball. I know, you read it in like 2 hours probably.
He now, I don't know who he writes for anymore.
The Score.
The Score. Travis Sawchuk. The Bednar return is light in the context of this relief market. Here's what Baseball America had to say about Flores this year. AAA will be a big test for Flores. Savvy arms at that level will be able to exploit holes in his swing and force him to adjust. If he can, he is a shot at being a second division regular. Flores hitting .211 in his first 50 AAA plate appearances, says Sawchuk.
Second division regular.
Yeah, which the Pirates are. Fangraphs has an FV grade of 40 on him. MLB a 45. Not good.
Masterful gambit again, Mr. Charrington.
What do those numbers mean?
Future value. I think it might be like a different...
On what scale?
20 to 80. I believe it's future value is what that stands for. Okay. But it's what do they think the player can be? And if it's probably, I would say, 50 or above, they think they can be an above average major league player.
And so these are
you
both
below.
You get
into the 65, 70 range, you're talking about a perennial all-star. This guy looks like...
They project below average major leaguer is what you're saying.
Yeah. Ryan Domet, maybe?
No way. Domet
was a better hitter. He's a better hitter.
Come on now. That's disrespectful to Ryan Domet.
No, Ryan Domet was like a 55 hit tool, 55 power, a negative 20 run, negative 20 field, 20 arm. Domet hit.
Yeah, Domet could hit. Domet hit 318 in 2008.
Well, that was
16 games.
What was his OPS plus that year?
OPS plus was 127.
Okay, so he's objectively good. It wasn't like inflatable, silly numbers.
Throwing shade at Ryan Domet. I'm not going to stand for that.
Oh, yes. You are the Ryan Domet defender of record.
412-928-9370. Your reaction to this David Bednar trade. The Renegade is gone, is no more. And now he's playing for the hated, reviled New York Yankees. 412-928-9370. Hour and 40 minutes to go before the trade line. We still don't have a Tommy Pham trade. IKF is still here, too.
Heaney, all of them.
Here is Tom on the fan. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
I'm actually going to go sideways on this because I really can't even sum up an opinion on the trade, but kind of going to stick up for Mr. Charrington. The reason I'm going to do that is because if I was in business and I was a general manager from any of the other teams in Major League Baseball, I look at the Pirates like it's a clown show and I can pull something over on them. And that's pretty much what happens every time it comes to trades. They just pull something over on us.
But isn't it his job, even if that's
the money?
But hold on. Isn't it his job, even if you, Tom, and Harmony feel like every other GM looks at him and laughs and says, I can pull the wool over this guy's eyes? Isn't it still what Ben Charrington's being compensated to do to not let that happen?
Yeah, that's a Charrington problem, not a Pirates problem. Yeah. Huntington didn't get fleeced on all his trades. He made the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is it's starting from the top. They can look at the whole organization in the last 20 years.
But the same
years,
guy owned the team when they did make the playoffs and had three good teams. Like, I get the frustration with ownership, but, like, if your point is sympathy for Ben Charrington because look what he has to work with. Another guy did a way better job here.
Yeah. That came. I'm sticking up for him. But it's just that this has become a giant clown show. And as far as the money that they're saving, it is not going to get spent. They're not going to all of a sudden open up their pockets and start paying these people and stuff. They no longer get the local TV money anymore.
They don't get as much since they partnered up with the Penguins and they're part of the Fenway Sports group thing. That is true. Almost 7 minutes ago, posted the poll question to our listeners. Do you like the David Bednar trade? 86% say no.
That runs right with my David Bednar trade, good trade, bad trade. 85.4% say bad trade.
So overwhelmingly, Pirates fans are not a fan of Bednar getting traded. But some of that has to be that he's from here. You said before the trade got made.
I saw what other relievers were getting.
I know, but you said before the trade got made, man, people are pumping Bednar's tires. I can't ignore that it has to be related to him being from here. And I do think that that is an aspect of this. Now, he's been booed in Pittsburgh. It's not like he's completely a,
a local darling or like,
what's the cow that you don't touch again? What am I looking for here?
A cow that you don't touch again?
Sacrificial lamb is stuck in my head, but there's another animal that...
Sacred cow.
Sacred cow, yes.
The cow that you don't touch again.
The good old cow.
Folks, you can't, you know, there's no cows you don't touch again in this town.
He's not a sacred cow. I mean, Rowdy Tellez had to go to his locker and do that ridiculous speech.
I mean, I thought people were actually extra vitriolic towards him because we had a caller who just could not get away from his perceived weight problem.
And when he was going bad, that was brought up all the time.
Oh, people brought it up. People brought it up off the record, like not off the record to me, I should say, off the air. People would come up to me like and just trash him. So I think people were harder on him when it went bad for him than they would have been even on some other guys. But it absolutely factors in. Now he's cooking. He absolutely went down to the minors, figured his stuff out, and came up a different and better pitcher, much better pitcher. And so I think all that combines with the fact that people hate Ben Cherington and hate the work he's doing to give you this reaction to it.
Clinton is next. Hello, Clint.
Okay, sorry, gentlemen. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, listen. I'm glad that David Bednar's gone, and I'm going to tell you why.
Yep.
Number one, he is going, you know what, to be successful in life, you got to be around elite people. Mm-hmm. And the one thing the Yankees ownership is elite. Elite people will teach you how to win. And the fact of the matter is, listen, this Pirates organization is a farm club. And it's sad to say, a professional baseball team being a farm club for other organizations such as the Yankees and the Dodgers as an example. Look at the former Pirates that have left here that have won a World Series, like Gerrit Cole, for example. All right? We had great people in this organization. But the fact of the matter that this organization is running, looking at what's best for their pockets versus what's best for the team and best for the city, that's why we're having the mess that we're having right now.
So you're happy he's gone because you root for David Bednar as a Pittsburgher and you want to see him do well. Is that what I heard there?
I want to see him do well. I want to see him win a World Series. Hell, listen, I hope Keller gets to go win a World Series somewhere. I hope he do. Because they're not going to do it here. And I wish McCutchen would have did the same thing. But he loves this city. This is a great city. Listen, explain to me. Isn't it sad? We've had this stadium, this beautiful stadium, ranked number 2 in all of Major League Baseball. As a matter of fact, in the world. And we can't even have a play. We can't even have an NLCS here. All we are is just getting a good fireworks display here and there and a drone show.
Thank you, Clinton. You were going there. It was kind of like Blutarski and Animal House, so I gave you some poetic justice and freedom. But Gerrit Cole,
license,
by the way,
yes,
Gerrit Cole has not won a World Series. But
he did with – wait.
No, he didn't.
I thought he did with the Astros. Maybe I'm completely high.
No, he did not. He lost the World Series with
right.
the Astros.
And I kind of – that's one of those memory hold things.
And he lost the World Series with the Yankees, too.
That's one of those things where I had like that assumption just stuck in my brain, and for whatever reason, you other than like looking it up and hearing you
but
say
Charlie
it,
Morton
wouldn't
has
have
been
gotten
a World Series hero.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
you've had
you know
guys
what?
Like that.
I kind of remember chuckling that he was losing World Series.
Here is let's get Jake to react to the big trade. Hello, Jake.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey man.
Hello.
I think this trade is just right on brand. For the Pirates as an organization. I think as a whole, over the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years, this team and this front office has been nothing but a farm system for good players to go play in big markets. Meanwhile, we get to rake up their garbage in the minor leagues to try and appease our fan base, who we've convinced their delusional selves that having a great farm system equals having a great organization. Meanwhile, that has not been the case, as you guys can see. So.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't say that what they got back is garbage in this deal, but it is less than I expected them to get.
It's underwhelming in a word. It's underwhelming.
Mike Fakovkan, who you know from all the Pittsburgh Now sites, tweets out, so far this trading deadline, the Pirates have traded for 5 prospects, 4 of them in Class A. Way to get better for 2026. Cherington did basically call this shot on Sunday when he met with reporters here. He said if he thought the value was good enough, he didn't care if the guys were at single A and years away from becoming major league players. So he's not operating
that's
under
like talking,
any real urgency, per
that's,
se.
I know, that's spoken like a guy who's gotten some sort of weird assurance from the ownership,
but I don't think
ownership
he has.
Box that he's not going to get fired. You better hope he hasn't gotten one, because if he has been given some sort of internal private vote of confidence, that's...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Donnie Football Debrief will return when Donnie joins us tomorrow, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. I don't think Saloni's is going to mind that instead of intern Dom creating asinine football topics for 10 minutes. We instead continue to talk about the biggest story of the day, which is the Pittsburgh closer, the Renegade, David Bednar, going to the Yankees. I'm sure he's had his fair share of Saloni's bread in his day. It is delicious.
Delicious bread. Brian Batko chiming in on all of this, the big story of the day. I'm waiting for Rowdy Tellez to tell me how to feel about the David Bednar trade. Pretty good.
That is a good one. Former fan update anchor Robert Sir, who now is a meteorologist somewhere. I don't know exactly where.
I think he's in Louisville now.
Good for him.
He's steadily moved up the meteorological ranks.
Tweeting out, they're basically something that points out how the Pirates have always found a closer. From Caps to Grilly, from Grilly to Melanson, from Melanson to Hanrahan.
There's a he who shall not be named in there.
He's got the order of it wrong. And then Hanrahan to Vasquez, and then Bednar, and he said they'll be okay. Yes, I don't think it's...
Alan Saunders parachuted in to immediately respond, yes, they had a competent general manager making those moves.
But I don't question the ability of the Pirates to find another closer. What I question is, in this era, or in this moment, where closers are getting traded for a ton, what the Pirates got back. That's all.
Yeah, relative to what other teams have gotten, it seems light. I don't know how you could say anything else.
And they don't have a GM who you would say, in this guy we trust. They have Ben Cherington. Noah Hyles pointed out, in all of these moves Cherington has made, draft picks, trades, free agent signings, he's acquired two All-Stars in the 6 years he's been here. Paul Skeens, 1-1, and David Bednar. And I would even say with Bednar, it was a three-team trade in January of 2021, so coming off the COVID year. They sent Joe Musgrove to the Padres, and they got back Hudson Head, who just retired from baseball.
Wasn't there a guy in there named like Means, Jerry Means or something? Or am I thinking of a different trade?
Drake Fellows, Hudson Head, and Omar Cruz went to the Pirates.
Okay. No, there was a Boston trade where some random guy like that came back. Who was the first name in there?
Drake Fellows.
That sounds like an SNL character.
Because there was Brian Fellows. Drake Fellows, Hudson Head, Omar Cruz, and David Bednar to the Pirates, and then Andy Rodriguez came to the Pirates from the Mets in that three-team deal.
Just for the record, Musgrove, after that deal...
Musgrove was a stud for the Padres.
Racked up in the next 2 years, 7 wins above replacement, and was an objectively outstanding pitcher. They lost that trade.
Pitched a no-hitter and was really good for the Padres in the playoffs in 2022 as well.
In 2022, the guy was an all-star with a 2.93 ERA who started 30 games for them.
Yeah.
So he was excellent.
I'm happy they got another all-star back in Bednar, and he wasn't even thought to be the main player back in the deal.
He
still did not, yeah.
It's one of his two trades that led to an all-star you would technically rank as a loss.
And I don't think that's being...
Noah Hyles also...
Difficult. Just being honest.
Noah, somewhat cryptically, I tweeted out, I might be downgrading this move to a D the more I think about it, particularly when Noah Hyles said that the team's ask for Bednar would be one of a team's top 5 prospects. Noah responds 3 minutes ago, I'll have more on this in a bit, both additional reporting and my own thoughts. That seems kind of ominous/interesting. I want to hear more about that. Like, what changed, basically?
I think Noah's going to tell you that he's getting good feedback on Flores that has him thinking this is a better trade than what he originally heard.
Is he getting good feedback from Pirates sources?
I don't know.
Or is he getting good feedback from people around baseball?
Text him and ask.
Maybe I will. Just text
him and say, do you feel good about this trade, yes or no?
The only thing, I will, Pony, but we're on the air right now and I will do that.
Well, when has that stopped Starkey or Pomp from sending a text out while they were on the air?
I'd like to think that I have a little more respect for you and your very good opinions.
Well, you start that text up right now because I'm going to say
one more thing. There is one thing as a Pirates fan that is making me think this might not be an underpay by the Yankees and a bad deal for the Pirates. Jeff Passan, who I do not think is fond of the Pirates very much at all.
Loves this trade from them. Yeah.
Like, went out there and put something out there in the ether. He's the biggest baseball insider there is, and he is the biggest backer of this
trade. Gushing about this trade.
Yes.
Here's Tony and Freedom. Hello, Tony.
Hello. One of the things that I looked at with this trade was, what are we really getting? And I looked up Flores on the internet, and of the 90-plus games he played this year, 53 of them were first base.
Okay.
Is this a move for a first baseman?
I think he does both. So he'll play some, he'll catch and he'll play first. He can do okay. both. Why? Does that make you like it more or make you like it less?
I think I like it more because Davis has stuck, let's be honest.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we have to try to sugarcoat that one. He's been terrible.
But I still think he needs, a full year that he's playing almost every day.
Why?
Because you spent number one overall.
They're in last place. Why isn't he playing every day right now? Why wait?
I don't know that.
Because he can't play. He can't hit. He can catch decently as a receiver. He can't hit.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Tony.
Here's a man named...
my take on it.
Giro Von Dane.
Who?
On Twitter. He's the voice of the G-Man. Hold on. This will become interesting in a second. His Twitter bio is official page of sports broadcaster and voiceover artist Gero, G-E-R-O, Von Den, Robert Morris University, and the Alaska Gold Panners.
Okay. Why
the Alaska Gold Panners was a team that Rafael Flores balled out for.
Oh, okay.
That got him, I think, on the Yankees' radar.
All right, so now I am interested.
The man has Alaska Gold Panners takes. I believe he is the guy doing these games for them.
And what did he say
Flores
about him?
Is a big talent with a high ceiling, hits for power. He'll be the best catcher the Pirates have had in years. The most recent best catcher they've had is Cervelli.
Bart wasn't bad last year. Will he ever do better than Bart did last year? Pull up Bart's numbers. What did he hit, 14 homers?
Bart hit 14. I think that's because I said he was going to hit 15 this year. He's hit, like, what, two?
He had 13.
Okay.
Will...
Yeah, he did. He was their best offensive player.
Will Flores ever have a year where he goes 13, 45, 799 OPS?
Probably not.
You don't think so?
He was a 2.5 win player last year, was Bart. Yeah, this guy, though...
He fell
I
off
guess,
a cliff this year.
I guess this guy was the broadcaster of record for the Alaska Gold Panners.
Yeah, this is like a, I won't say the natural or something like that, but this really is a come out of nowhere rare case in baseball now where scouting is so good and drafting is so in-depth and stuff, and guys aren't just like drafting dudes late in drafts as a favor like they used to. 20 rounds of drafting high school, junior college, and college players. This guy never got drafted.
Pony.
And he had to take the road less traveled.
Would you call
literally?
You wouldn't call any independent league team who's not affiliated with a major league team semi-pro. It's pro baseball. It's just independent league. The Alaska Gold Panthers' own Twitter feed calls them a semi-pro baseball team headquartered in Fairbanks, Alaska, the home of the world-famous Midnight Sun Game. I think if this guy turns into a major leaguer who hits like 15 home runs, you might as well call it the natural. Is his bat say Wonder Boy on it?
I mean, if you're the Yankees, you want to talk about an unreal development job. They took somebody who was a scrap heap player, and they made him the centerpiece of a trade to get an all-star closer who might help them win a World Series. It's a great job.
Didn't Adam Marco, who's the play-by-play man for the Scranton Rail Riders, say that he had a growth spurt once the Yankees got him?
Yeah, up to 6'4".
Like that he was not that big of a guy?
He also said he used to work with Bubba.
He kind of no-sold that one.
He did, you're right.
And Bubba's a wrestling guy, and so I think Bubba
would notice. And a baseball guy.
Bubba would notice being no-sold like that.
Adam's next. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Been a Pirates fan for 45 years. My wife grew up an Expos fan, so it was easy to convert her to a Pirates fan. We live in central Pennsylvania and make the trek out to PNC Park probably 3 or 4 times a year for games.
Yep.
And the trade for me today means that I just bought tickets for the 30th of August for the Phillies and Braves, as well as Philly hats for my wife and I.
This trade
this
in particular has
done?
You checking out as a Pirate fan,
this
even
is
though
your line
Paul
in the sand?
Steens is still here.
It is my line in the sand. We need MLB bats now, not 2-3 years down the road. We only have Skeens for, who knows how many years. And it's like,
I'm just done. I've like.
Well, it doesn't sound like you should care about any of those things anymore. You're a Phillies fan now.
I've given up. I don't know what else to do.
You should be happy that the Phillies didn't trade, what's his name, the shortstop prospect for David Bednar then.
Adam, so you don't have any faith that they're going to take the money they saved on Hayes and Bednar and go out and get hitters this offseason?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Not at all.
Clearly you don't because you already bought tickets to a Phillies
game.
What
was the number you said? 20?
Around 20.
20 million.
When you think about the prorated money this year and next. Yeah.
We all know what the money is that they would be saving.
Here is Mike in Hampton, not Mike Hampton. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I was calling about something else, but then you started the segment about these guys in the media that are kind of sticking up for this trade and Charrington's move.
Well, only one very, very, very prominent one, and that is Jeff Passan, who I will say is objective and is the biggest insider.
And I don't see Jeff Passan actually sticking up for Charrington. I see it more of the... You know, like, we're showing that Bednar was worth the trade. I don't think he's sticking up for the Pirates organization.
Okay.
I feel the way I see it is that, you know, this management, first off, the thing I called about is I don't understand why they traded for a guy that they're giving $12 million for, and we think they're going to actually flip him for something else. I feel like he's just going to be on the roster after tonight.
Well, the Reds did throw some money to the Pirates in that deal, too. So...
What are we really trading here? Like, are we really, like, offloading?
Uh-oh, we lost him here. Offloaded you.
The old poison arrow frog got him. The blow dart.
What do you think he was going to say next? I mean, I haven't seen any buzz that... I mean, I haven't seen any buzz on any of these expiring contract guys. Whether it's Rodgers, who they just picked up.
It would be a disaster if they're left holding the bag with all these guys and they just have to keep trotting them out there because they feel some sense of obligation to do so.
Well, but you know what that would make me feel like? That would actually make me feel like Ben thinks he needs them to finish with a decent record to keep his job. Yeah.
Man, I go back to the whole thing. This all traces back to the owner not having the gumption to do what needed to be done after last season. They dealt in no measures at first, then in a half measure with Shelton, and he has continued to keep the genesis of the problem on his management team around.
This was supposed to be the Donnie Football Debrief brought to you by Salonis. One quick football nugget that I will throw in here. Philip Rivers became a grandfather today.
So he's, what, 44?
Yeah.
I think. So he would have had a kid. Hold on.
He has a million kids.
No, but he had kids in college because he was married at like, what, 20? 21 maybe? Does that sound right to you?
I don't know.
He's 43 years old. I think he probably got married, I'm going to guess, when he was 21. I'm going to guess because he and his wife are the most fertile couple on the planet, that they probably got pregnant within a month of being married.
And so
that would make the kid 21 or 22. If it's like father, or I don't know if it's his daughter who had a baby or his son.
Chip off the old block.
Right. If it's his son and his son's wife who had a baby, son's a chip off the old block. I guess you could say that if it's his daughter, chip off the old block for mom. But that Philip Rivers, then, if he lives to, like, hold on, 85 years old, his grandchild who just got born today could become a grandparent by what? The time he's 65,
mm-hmm.
That would make him a great grandparent.
He's got great grandfather potential.
Yeah.
He does.
And if he lives to be like 105, he's got great grandfather potential. We got to root for Philip Rivers to stick around for a while.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.